Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Gary Armley inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
So, Father, I thank you this morning for the privilege of being able to share the word. And, Father, thank you for bringing us understanding of the season we're living in and what kingdom really is. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come and that you would just teach us, open our understanding, cause us to change the way we think, shift us into the place you need for us to be in this season and this time. And Lord, we just thank you for the privilege of being here and for the privilege of being able to be the hands that you move through this morning to touch the lives of men and women. We give you praise. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, a couple of weeks ago, I began to share about kingdom. And I mean, it's such a topic that it's, you know, I could rewrite this a few times, which I did. It's like, Lord, what do I really want to say? There's so much. And so much that we haven't understood because we've had really, all of us, the body of Christ at large has been more church-focused than kingdom-focused because that's what we were trained up in. And over the last few, maybe 10 years actually, maybe longer, this has been just percolating in me and just every time I'd see kingdom, we're in the kingdom age and we just really need to understand what that looks like. When I spoke a couple of weeks ago, this scripture was what I started with and I want to say it again. He raised us up with Christ, the exalted one, and we ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm, for we are co-seated as one with Christ. So we have been seated in the heavenly realm, where Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and we're seated with him and co-reigning with him, which is hard for us to get our heads around as we still see things unfolding in the natural. And yet I believe God in this hour is shifting us to see more by the Spirit. It says, he will glorify and honor me because he, the Holy Spirit, will take from what is mine and will disclose it to you. Everything belongs to Jesus. Everything. Jesus is telling us how his inheritance, the all things, would be transferred to our accounts. So from his account to our account. Every time God speaks to us, there is a transfer of heavenly resources from his account into ours. Every time he speaks to us. Every time we get a prophetic word, every time we're reading in the scripture and all of a sudden a scripture is just highlighted, you know, it's like you never saw it before. Well, God's transferring from the heavenly account into yours, building up your spirit, man. Hearing God is essential to the release and discovery of the vastness of Christ's inheritance. And it is all things. 1 Corinthians 3:21. So everything we need is available. Everything's there. Absolutely everything. It requires faith to pull it into this realm. And that's what we have to exercise, is our faith to get it here. All things. And we need his resources to establish his kingdom. We need to see what he's doing, hear what he's doing, and do enact that out here. Matthew 10, 7 and 8. And as you go, Jesus said to the disciples and to us, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. That's what we did this morning. Cleanse the lepers. That can mean many things. People that are wounded and healing and need healing. Raise the dead. That too we will do. Come on. That too we will do. Why should only the foreign nations do this kind of thing? Come on. Why should they only do it? Because there's no medical facilities, nothing around, and their only resource is to turn to the Lord. and they raise the dead. And it's easier to minister when you're overseas, healing and everything else, than it is here, because people are desperate and they're just pulling on the faith of the Lord and on you. And so, Lord, cause us to get into that place without having to go down the paths they go down. Faith is the currency of heaven. So raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Matthew 6:33, again, I'm repeating scripture we had last week or 2 weeks ago because this is so important, that we are to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Seek first his kingdom. And if you're like me, you tend to turn to the natural rather than the spiritual. If I get a headache, I'm learning, that's when I take communion. And now that's where I shift. I do that first. But there was a season when I walked to the medicine cabinet and get a couple of Advil. Because it's just natural to do. Instead of saying, Lord, this is not what I need. I need healing right now. And so shifting that whole mindset, when I start getting aches in my body, not to say, oh, I've got this or I've got that, but to say, Lord, by your stripes I'm healed. I reject this, I rebuke it, and it has to go. And within about half an hour, it's like it's gone. Sometimes immediately, but sometimes it's a process. And I might have to address it a few times, but it's changing the way I think. For our citizenship, church isn't here, it's in heaven. We really, I call myself Canadian, but really, we used to say years ago, I'm a Havanian. Right? I'm a Havanian, so are you. So let's look at kingdom for a minute. A kingdom is ruled by a monarch. Okay? The kingdom is the government of God. So when we say the kingdom, we're saying the government of God. It's not a democracy where I get to vote on things I want or don't want. God's kingdom is not a democracy in that we function with the mindset, well, I can just maybe even manipulate God to get it my way. It's a monarchy. He's the king. It's like England. Queen Elizabeth was the queen for many, many, many years. And now it's Prince King Charles. It's a monarchy, and we really don't have much of a mindset for that because we're under a different kind of government. But it's a monarchy. It means, so kingdom means the rule of God in my life today. So it's not just healings and signs and wonders and miracles. It's the rule of God in my life today. Is God ruling in your life? Is kingdom working in your life? Is kingdom in your family? When there's an argument between husband and wife, do you just duke it out? Are you able to stop and say, you know what, we need to both go pray? And we need to forgive. When you've had a bad day during the day with your kids or whoever, do you just go to bed with a grump and not forgive anybody? Because that's not God ruling in your life. Or do you stop and you say, we need to make this right before we go to sleep tonight. And you approach your children or you approach your spouse and you say, we need to forgive one another. That's kingdom. That's a whole different way of living. And we've heard it, but it's all part of the rule of God in our lives. Matthew 11:12, from that day, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. We need to have a passionate hunger to see God's kingdom fully manifest. The world needs it. They're desperate. Listen, there's no place to turn. And it's not bad to go on a long trip, but I'll tell you the truth. If you've got an issue before you go on the trip, that you have not resolved and you've got a problem. When you get back from the trip, you'll still have it. You just had a little delay in it. And hopefully, time to think things through. But really, we need to passionately and hungrily pursue the kingdom. We need to be persistent about it, walking in great endurance. It takes a lot of endurance to walk in the kingdom. We have to stay faithful to it. This isn't, well, if it doesn't work, I'm going to try something else. There is no something else. Right? That's right. There is nothing else, Curtis, just kingdom. So in the beginning, God created man and woman, and he made them in his image, right? In their image and likeness. And right from the beginning, God desired to have a relationship. God's about relationship. Always has been. He wants us to have an intimate relationship with him. And that's an awkward word in North American society. But it's a deep, close relationship. And he wants that with us. He doesn't want us to wave at him once in a while when we're not busy. Or a telephone call maybe once every 8 to 10 months. He wants daily communication with us. And Pastor Jay talked about how important the worship, or Pastor Claude did when we started, the worship is. Our whole nature, will, affections, and powers were all to be used to receive, flow, and overflow with the fullness of God. So everything about us is to be connected in with him. And as we sit with him, he comes into us and he fills us. And then we overflow with that when we go out. And you may think, well, is there a difference? Yes, there is. Yes, there is. When you've been in the presence of the Lord and you walk out into society, there is a big difference. So in the beginning, man was created in the image and likeness of God. The word image is tzelem and demuth, both meaning... This is very interesting. Both meaning essential in nature, copy, characteristics, and essence. Man was created by God in the God class and was given the responsibility to exercise that quality as God's agents on the earth. So we're in the God class. Psalm 8, 4, and 5. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visited him. For thou hast made him but a little lower than God and crowned him with glory and honor. A lot of translations say Elohim. They say angels. But the actual translation is that we've been made just a little lower than God. That takes a little bit of a shift. Especially when you have one of those days when you get out of bed the wrong way. Would God get out of bed the wrong way? Really? Somehow I don't think so. We're in the God class. So the Holy Spirit dwells within us. God, the Holy Spirit within us. The God who created the universe, who's still creating, who's in charge of that eclipse tomorrow. That God dwells within us. And we're made just a little lower than him. Like, that's something to think about. When we go to lay hands on people and we think we're nothing because the enemy is filling our head with lies. No, I'm in the God class. Whoa, wait a second. You're not going to steal what God wants to do right now. And that's not for us to be puffed up, but it's a reality. Then he told them, he says, let them have dominion over the earth. And I talked about that the last time. God's given the jurisdiction of earth to us. And you hear over and over, why did that God make that happen? How come God made that happen? Well, how come the church is not on the wall? How come the church isn't exercising her authority on the earth? Because God says, let them have dominion over the earth. We've been given dominion over the earth. That's a huge responsibility. But if each of us are walking it out in our sphere of influence, walking as he walks, being in the presence of the Lord, then taking that out into society, and if the whole of the body of Christ was doing that, what do you think is going to happen? It'll change the world. So the onus is on us as the believers. That's not to put a guilt on us. I think we need a wake-up call. Don't blame God when something goes wrong. Say, Lord, did you try to wake me up in the middle of the night to pray? Because the situation's coming, and I just rolled over and went back to sleep. I remember being on a mission trip, and we had intercessors around the clock when we went, especially when we went to Haiti and Cuba. But when we first went to Ghana, too, and I remember getting into a very dangerous situation in Haiti. And, you know, we were all praying. It's like, Lord, keep us, keep us, keep us safe. And when you're being chased in Haiti and you've got a police officer driving your car and he's got two guns on his lap, you start to get a little nervous maybe. But anyway, it turns out back home, some of the intercessors had picked it up. And they had been on the wall. And they had been storming heaven for us, and we were safe and we were fine. It happened to me when I was in Ghana. After I got home, an intercessor came up to me and said to me, what were you doing at such and such a time? Because the Lord woke me up and I had to get out of bed and pray. I had such a burden for you. Well, sure enough, with the time change, it's exactly when I needed prayer. So the dominion of the earth is on our shoulders. God doesn't move on the earth unless we are co-laboring with him and bring him into it. And he doesn't move on us unless we surrender and we give him our free will. So we're called to pursue this kingdom like never before. Dominion is the word Michelle. To be given dominion means to establish as a sovereign, kingly ruler, a master, and a governor. Responsible for reigning over a designated territory. So we are God's reigning ambassadors on the earth. And he has given us everything we need. We are born to rule over creation, over darkness, and we're created to plunder hell. We are created to plunder hell. And if we're not, it's not good. So you've made them to be a kingdom of priests to serve our God, it says in Revelation 5:10, and they will reign on the earth. This is scripture. We will reign on the earth. The ultimate goal of God and the Creator is to colonize the earth to be like heaven. And he's been trying it for 2,000 years now. This is a colony of heaven, and we're to bring heaven down to earth. And each generation is moving closer to what God is wanting. Even though it looks sometimes dark, there is a momentum in the spirit realm that's happening all over the earth for those who have listening ears. And God is moving through a people on the earth in this hour. So the Lord takes the man, and he puts him in the Garden of Eden. And this is stuff we taught years ago, but there's so many new people in here now. He said, dress it and keep it. So this is a mandate to him. And you know, if you think in the natural, oh, they were supposed to have a garden and plant some fruit and trees and stuff. It's not what it means. To dress is the word abad. It means to keep. It means to worship. It means to serve. And it means to work. The church has put work first. But that's not the order. It's to keep it. It's to worship. That's why there's such a focus on worship, because worship shifts everything. If you're in a difficult situation and you turn on worship music and you start to worship, you shift the atmosphere in your home. You might not be able to do it very loud in the workplace, but you sure can just hum or pray in tongues in the workplace and shift the atmosphere. We are to bring light into chaos and darkness. That's why we're here. That's what our salvation is all about. It isn't just a ticket to heaven. That's the beginning. Now we become ambassadors for the King. The word shamar is to keep, to watch, to guard, to build a fence around. It's to make a place of protection. So we are to build a place of protection around our homes, around our city, around our nation, as believers. We do that in prayer. That's what prayer is all about. When we were in Haiti, they don't have wooden fences around their homes. They don't have chain link fences around their homes. They have hedges, and they're probably this high, easy. And those hedges have thorns on them like this. And it's all around their house, and then there's a gate. You don't climb over that hedge. It'll hurt you. It was such a revelation of what, when it says, build a fence around, protection, that just drove it home, you know? God has a way for all of us, and that's through prayer. We are to guard and protect this incredible place of intimacy with Him that the enemy's constantly after, and our intimacy with the body of Christ, and then we're to protect whatever the Lord puts us in charge over. You know, it may just be your neighborhood. It may be, in the beginning, your family, then your neighborhood. And as you mature in the Lord, He may say, I want you to pray for Essex. This becomes your mandate. Then as you are a faithful warrior, then it says, I want you to pray over Essex County, and it keeps increasing. I want you to pray over southwestern Ontario, and then over Canada, and then over the nations of the world. Sometimes we want to jump to the nations of the world, but if we can't pray for our neighborhood, then that's really out of reach. God's trying to teach us to be diligent. So we've been given rulership over the earth, but not ownership. Two different things. We're ambassadors. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. So it belongs to the Lord, and we're stewards of it. And so just the respect for nature and for everything that He's given us is so important, that we honor and that we serve. When God gave us dominion, He didn't give us the capacity to dominate one another. And that's where it's gone way off course. And He didn't give us permission to go against the government. We're under the government of heaven, and we're here to serve. Bottom line, we're here to serve. That was what Jesus did. If we look at the example of Jesus, then we're to do the same thing. Shorten this a little bit. So after the fall, Adam and Eve could no longer govern in the garden. Number one, they had been disobedient to what the Father had said to them. But the other thing that a lot of us don't realize is we see how Jesus walked it out by the Holy Spirit. Adam and Eve were walking by the Holy Spirit also. Holy Spirit was there, and He brooded over the earth. He was present in creation. The Holy Spirit was present. And so for them to be able to communicate with the Father as He walked with them and talked with them was via the Holy Spirit. So when they disobeyed what the Father had said to them, it also stopped the Holy Spirit from speaking to them. And there was an absolute shift because it was through the Holy Spirit they were to govern the earth. It was through the Holy Spirit and by the Holy Spirit that Jesus did the signs and the wonders and miracles. The Holy Spirit would come down on people. He came on Ezekiel. He came on David because David pressed in so hard. But at large, the people did not have the Holy Spirit. They were under the law. And so David in Psalm 51 cries out, "Don't take your Holy Spirit from me." He knew when the Holy Spirit was resting on him and when it was gone. Amen? And he cried out, "Don't take him from me." Because that's how he ruled Israel. And Adam and Eve could no longer govern the earth the same way because they didn't have the Holy Spirit. And so they were put out of the garden. We have received the Holy Spirit again. And it's through the Holy Spirit that he guides and directs and leads us now. He'll say, "Go talk to that person. Say good morning to that person. That person needs a smile. That one's ready to receive the Lord. Plant a seed in that one. Go serve that one. Bring a meal to that house. Go pray at that place because there's great darkness there. Just walk by and pray." He directs us, and so we can be those ambassadors on the earth. When Jesus began his ministry in Matthew 4:17, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Change the way you think." And he's constantly trying to get us kingdom-minded. You know, and I'll find myself absent-mindedly driving down a road, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit will say, "Gary, why aren't you praying for the houses that you're driving by? Why are you just kind of, you know, in la-la land? Or just listening to music?" All of a sudden, he'll arrest me. There's certain areas on my ride to the church where he arrests me. "I want you to pray." And I know there's darkness in those homes. And even knowing all that, I can still go by and not even think about it. And it's like, "Lord, don't let me do this. And when I walk my dog, let me pray for all these homes as I walk by them. So all these people come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And help me establish relationships with these people. Because a dog gives me a way to do it." People always want to pet Bella. So, you know, and I said, "Lord, let this be an open door. Because it's crucial that they come to know Jesus." So Adam became a king without a kingdom, a citizen without a country, and a ruler without a domain. That's what happened to him. And Jesus came to bring all that back to us. So let's look at signs and wonders just for a minute, because that's what we mainly talk about. What do signs and wonders do? Signs and wonders reveal the nature of God. That's why we need them. Signs and wonders expose sin and bring people to a decision. When Simon Peter saw the catch of fish, he fell on his knees and said, "Lord, I'm a sinful man." You know, he just recognized, "Lord, I'm sinful." When Zacchaeus climbed up the tree and wanted to see Jesus, and Jesus went to his house, Jesus never said a thing to Zacchaeus. But in the glory and the presence of the king being in his house, just having dinner, Zacchaeus said, "Lord," wherever I've stolen, "Lord, I give it back and more." He was convicted. And the presence of the Lord on us needs to do the same thing. The supernatural is the key to the sin cities. When he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. So when cities are impacted by the presence of the Lord, because there's so many believers there, then people are convicted of their sin. When we're serious about what we're doing, sounds like a lot of work, but it becomes a lifestyle for us. Miracles reveal his glory. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Signs direct people to giving God the glory. Miracles bring unity to people, to the body of Christ. I want to share a testimony with me. It's one of Bill Johnson's, but I thought it was so awesome that I want to read it. It says, it had been an awesome Sunday night in the presence of God. When it was all finished, the prayer and the praise, the teaching and the time of asking God for miracles, one of my staff members walked from the sanctuary into the hallway and saw a man jumping up and down saying, "Oh my gosh, oh my gosh." His pants seemed too big for him. He was holding them up so they wouldn't slump around his ankles. He was puzzled, but knew God must have done something. When we asked around, we learned that the man had been healed that night after receiving prayer. The tumors he'd come in with had instantly disappeared. He'd come all the way from a neighboring state because doctors had given him only 2 weeks to live. In his mind, we were his last stop on the way to heaven or on the way to a miracle. He came into the sanctuary where he continued to jump up and down with great joy, very much healed and very much in the need of a new wardrobe. I thought that was a good one. But see, that causes people's hearts to turn to the Lord. Why wouldn't the Lord care about that man? He went that distance. It's like, Lord, you know, do it again. The kingdom of God had crashed into his infirmity and overwhelmed it. Miracles are to happen as we move around because they offer immediate proof of what God wants to happen here on earth. So they're immediate proof. It also reveals to the people who God is. God is love. And his reality in heaven is very different from what is here on earth. The kingdom, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Father wants us to overwhelm the enemy's assignment on earth. So miracles do that. Heaven can manifest here on earth through us. And I know, Tony, you've seen some. I've prayed for people. I've seen some, but it's not enough. Lord, every time we lay hands on the sick, we want it. We've seen it overseas, but we want it here. Trying to see the time here. 11:30, okay. A few more minutes. All righty. So we have the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Smith Wigglesworth made this quote. If you want anything from God, you'll have to pray into heaven. That is where it all is. If you live in the earth realm and expect to receive from God, you will never receive anything. The secret of his power is reaching in and bringing it down here, which is what we were doing this morning, praying and reaching in for the healing for everybody sitting at the front. John G. Lake says this, the church has been negligent in one thing. She has not prayed the power of God out of heaven. Now I want to say something, because it's like pulling teeth to have people come for prayer. And most Tuesdays, there's maybe six of us in the prayer room. And this week we have prayer Wednesday night. It's co-laboring with Lord. It's reaching into heaven for what needs to happen. And we all carry that responsibility. it requires prayer as the Holy Spirit speaks to us into by scripture, by something we hear, by something we see. And the Father begins to speak into a situation, and as we hear it and we speak it out, we're actually co-laboring with the Lord to shift a situation. You say, well, I don't hear God. Well, you know how I learned? I learned by sitting with a whole group of seasoned warriors. I mean, I was the young chickie in my 30s, and they were 80 and some. And they had me stand in a circle with them. And they were praying for people. And they did this for several hours on a Thursday morning. And I'm thinking, I was scared, which probably like anybody. And they didn't ask me right away. I just listened to them praying as they just stormed heaven. And I listened. And then one day they said to me, we want you to pray. And in my own way, as much as I could at that time, and I was already leading something, so I was not exactly a novice, but I hadn't been with leaders like that. I began to pray, and you know, I watched. As I was on cue and hearing the Holy Spirit, they were, yes, yes, yes. If I was just kind of meandering, there was nothing. I soon learned that I needed to hear, and they confirmed what I was hearing. And they would begin to draw on me more and more. And I learned to hear the Holy Spirit and to pray in accordance with what he was saying. And that was over a period of 7-8 years. But if you don't come, then you're never in that atmosphere and you're missing out on co-laboring with the Lord. Amen? Prayer is a discipline. It's a discipline. And I know, yep. There's young families, but ask God to make a way for you and come and pray on Wednesday night, because it's all part of the kingdom and it's crucial. It's crucial that we storm heaven. Here's another testimony. One of my sons is a worship leader. He took a friend along with his guitar to the mall to worship God. They stopped after 3 hours of singing and dancing. This is in the mall. An unsuspecting man walked through the same area where they had been worshiping. He stopped. He reached into his pocket, pulled out all his illegal drugs, and dropped them on the ground. No one said anything to him about sin. How did this happen? Heaven touched earth, and there's no illegal drugs in heaven. He walked through a God zone and got totally convicted and dropped his drugs. And of course, they got rid of them. I thought, wow, Lord, do we realize, you know, what we carry and how people are reacting around us that we don't even see because of Jesus. When we spend time with the Lord and then walk into public, his anointing is all over us, and it changes the atmosphere. The primary focus of prayer is, if it exists in heaven, it is to be loosed on earth. If it doesn't exist in heaven, it has no business being on earth. So that gives us lots of authority. I remember as intercessors praying about our borders, they were watching for a certain person to come through who was very, very dangerous. And those border guards are taught, obviously, to pick out that person, but they can still slip through. So we stormed heaven, and it was an itsy-bitsy little girl that caught him and arrested him. I remember Tim telling us that story because I asked. And I thought, Lord, we have such authority. We would pray and pray about certain government things. Next day, we'd see it in the newspaper. And it's like, Lord, we have authority. We've got to get excited about this and realize we can shift the whole atmosphere over our nation by praying in accordance with God's will. The last part of this teaching that I just want to go quickly to is, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We talk kingdom. The signs and wonders are miracles. Prayer is awesome. But the other part that is so crucial, because it's right there in the Lord's Prayer, is that we are to forgive. We're to forgive one another. We're to forgive people who hurt us. In our Thrive classes right now, which are fabulous, absolutely fabulous, you could run that one again with different people. It is, I mean, I'm consider myself a seasoned believer, but there's such wonderful material there about forgiving people, about truth-telling, telling God the truth about a situation, and then letting God speak truth into you so that that situation gets healed, and asking the Lord to show you, you know, Lord, is there someone I need to forgive? And all of a sudden, a teacher that hurt you when you were a kid pops to the surface. It's stopping you from moving forward. And we forgive and release. Forgiveness is paramount in the body of Christ and in our walk. We need to forgive. We need to forgive one another. We need to bless and release others, because it's so much a key in everything that we do. That's a whole teaching all by itself. But it says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Can't get any clearer than that. We're forgiven as we forgive others. We don't want to be held in unforgiveness because we refuse to release someone. Amen? It says in Matthew 5:23, if you, and Pastor Jay, you've taught on this, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. So if you come in on a Sunday morning and you want to go to the opposite side of the room because Sister So-and-so is there, you need to go to Sister So-and-so and get it straightened out. Amen? It's just Bible, but it's kingdom. So, the Sermon on the Mount is your homework. Read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It is the constitution of the kingdom of heaven. All those chapters are for us to live by. It's crucial that we read them and process them and say, Lord, am I living by this? Am I surrendered to you? Do you really have freedom to do in my life what you want to? It's just refreshing to let God do that searching in your heart as you read. Have I looked at someone in an appropriate way, Lord? God's pretty strict about all this stuff. And that's not to put law down on us. He loves us. He loves us. He loves us. But my goodness, you know, if we follow what's there and say, oh, Lord, forgive me. I shouldn't have thought that. Or, you know, it's like seconds. Lord, that was wrong. I shouldn't have said that. Lord, let me go to that person and ask them for forgiveness. My tone of voice was harsh, right? Things would begin to shift drastically, especially in our homes, especially in our homes. So, Father, I just thank you that, Lord, we're learning what your kingdom looks like. Lord, one day we're going to stand before you, and I don't know what it looks like when I leave here, Lord, and where I will be walking when I get into the kingdom of heaven. My spiritual father years ago said to me, wherever I am here on earth, I continue at that level in heaven. And so, Father, I just thank you that I want to be running for you. Lord, I want to get as close to your throne as I can. Amen. I want to be so hungry, and I pray for everyone in this place. They would get so hungry that, Lord, we would seek first your kingdom and everything else would be added unto us. And that, Lord, we would hunger and thirst for righteousness. And then, Lord, give it away. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.